case anybody forgot, this is episode one. Whoops, already messed up. In case anyone forgot, this is episode 206 of Mars on Life. Yes, gentlemen, it has been six episodes into season four. Or season four?
You're on
season
a roll
five?
Today.
I'm on a roll. It's already been a weird month, and we're not even a full week in.
4 days in. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for goodness sake, we just went through a nor'easter, which just seems... I mean, there's already enough out here that feels pretty foreign to me in some ways still, but having a nor'easter, having a snowstorm in April just doesn't compute.
You think that's bad? It's raining every single weekend without fail here in Southern California. So, you know, you have all those people that bitch and moan about, you know, how great the weather is. I don't see it because it's raining consistently, and it's not on weekdays. Not yet. It's not on weekdays. It's only the weekends. It absolutely throttles any plans that I have. The plans being I sit on the couch and play video games. That being said, if I wanted to go to the beach, despite me bitching and moaning about it in the past, I can't go to the beach. That being said, where's the weather that was promised? What benefit is it to stay here if the weather isn't up to par? I digress. So don't get me started.
Well, so everything you just said, I kid you not, I probably said dozens of times last year. Because it was exactly the same way from the very end of spring going into summer. So basically, like, a good chunk of May up until, I don't know, October? Maybe September? Where it seemed like every damn weekend here, it was raining. And like clockwork, I've had this conversation enough times that I practically have a mental script down. It was like clockwork. You'd go the whole week with sunshine, you know, getting to watch the sun from inside an office or inside your apartment if you've got, you know, not the opportunity to work from home. And then you, like, Friday afternoon, the clouds start rolling in. By Friday night, it's raining. By Saturday, it's all cloudy and rainy and horrible, and God knows how many inches of rain. And then, either by Sunday night, by Sunday night, it was usually still raining, but as if it had its own alarm, the clouds would disappear late into Sunday night, and by Monday morning, the sun was back. Mm-hmm. And then rinse and repeat the next weekend, and the one after that, and the one after that, and the one after that. So,
and the next day, and the next day, and the next day.
I guess I shouldn't be too mad. If kindergarten taught me anything, it's nursery rhymes. April showers do, in fact, bring May flowers. However, considering that we're 4 days in and I'm already sick and tired of it, I feel like that insane asylum patient just banging his head against the wall saying, you know, when will it end? But then again, there's part of us who very much likes the solitude of what a rainy day represents. And I honestly feel like if I keep on going down this tangent, I'm no better than the 40 50 something year olds at a country club catching up and discussing nothing more than the weather. And considering that we already talk a great deal about politics, it's really going to feel like a country club if we don't change topics as of yesterday. So please, what's on everyone's mind this weekend?
Well, speaking of the rain, I went to Disneyland in the rain on Sunday, which was I bought the 3-day California resident pass that was like $345. A normal ticket for
Okay.
context is like 295. So,
No, it's
yes,
not.
a
It's a
regular t
hundred, is
no,
it?
a regular park hopper ticket for one day is $295.
Park hopper ticket,
I
Disneyland.
think,
No, keep going. I really need to
and
find this now.
that's with the SoCal discount.
It's 96 a day, or am I looking at the? Am I looking at something wrong? Oh, select the number of days.
You're looking at
Oh,
select
3 days.
days, Sebastian.
No, but if you select the numbers of days, that will it'll like prorate your ticket price per day. That's ridiculous. That's like a buck 30 every day. And if I can do some digging, Disney stock is down. What the fuck? I mean, I guess they need to make up some of those margins somewhere, but like,
Let me see.
it's pissing rain. It's not even a good day to go to Disney, and it's that expensive. Like, that's
I
the
mean, when
logic,
I got there, it
the
was
logic error.
actually not really like it was raining heavy when I got there, and then I bought an umbrella because it was bad for like an hour, and then it died down, and I didn't need the umbrella anymore, and then it was fine. It
So,
would have been much worse had it not been raining, so.
I mean, I can't imagine just melting in the park. I mean, I can. I've done it, but
Yeah, when Taylor and
ugh.
I went, I think we only started to get the rain late afternoon-ish, and it was sort of on and off before the park closed. But with the Lightning Lane thing for two people, no park hopper, we just did traditional go to the park and fast pass our way through as many rides as possible. Total for two people, $2 shy of $400.
Not to call anyone out, but certain friends, like I know people who like are able to who have gone to like the park before with just like people who work there, and I've had people say that, oh yeah, I work there, I can take you, like just I'll let you know when I'm there.
They never do,
Yeah,
do they?
certain friends who are friends of this pod, who have been on this pod before, who know who they are, who play certain princesses, not calling anyone out. But
I
I had
absolutely
a
love the carrot on the stick approach that some people have with that. It's like a bargaining chip of the highest degree
Oh,
because
yeah.
you don't you can be the shittiest friend imaginable, but if you have a park, if you never contact any of your friends within a given year, except that one time where you feel like you're obligated to, hey, we should catch up. Oh, by the way, I'm an employee at Disney and I can get you in the park for free. Let's hang. And you never hang. And yeah, anyway.
I mean, a thing is, I also like I didn't have to pay for the Lightning Lane, which is a great boon, because one of my friends has like ADA access for like ADHD or something, and so we just chilled and just used the Lightning Lane. It was so great, and I'm going back on Sunday, and we're using the Lightning Lane, and it's gonna be so great. If you compare the price of an annual pass to Six Flags, though, Ryan, you know how much that shit is?
No, I had an annual pass to Six Flags, and
At the least, it's $70.
it's crazy cheap.
Buy
I
a
mean,
day, get a year
granted,
free, $70. Are you kidding me? Compared to.
you're spending a majority of the money that would have been going to annual pass membership fees in the gas getting there. However, I do contend that they have better roller coasters than Disney. And then again, Disney's not even known for the roller coasters. It's not a
They're known for
coaster
the
park.
fleecing.
I don't know. I would still, I mean, it's also been, oh my God, it actually, so in a weird way, it's somehow been almost prior to this last trip to Disneyland, it had been about 10 or 11 years since my last trip. And I think as of recording, my last trip to Six Flags, I think was in 2016. So once again, few years shy of almost 10 years, but I don't know, from what I do remember of Six Flags, and we have a Six Flags up here. I forget now if it's in Rhode Island or Connecticut. I don't think it's in Massachusetts, but certainly
That pisses me off so much. Rhode Island is not an island. Like there are islands surrounding it. Like this could be road. Those are the islands. I digress.
Actually, let me double check. Oh, I was dead wrong. It is in Massachusetts. It's in
Oh,
Agawam. Okay.
it's
Well, I
somewhere.
heard there was a Six Flags out here. I'm sure you can easily imagine what Al Pacino quote went through my head.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
It's the
Yeah.
same Al Pacino quote you quote every time, Ryan.
Since 2012. I don't know. I mean, I'd go back to Disneyland after going at the end of last year. I
I
did
mean, again,
enjoy
it had been
myself.
16 years for me, so.
What, my impassioned season finale rant didn't deter you? Come on.
It
Am I not doing my
was.
job here? Kidding. Is that
I.
why the stock price is down? Market manipulation mutt? No.
Well, don't get
Honestly,
me wrong, I
probably if
still
they
hate
can't.
the mouse. The mouse is still awful and I have my issues with them, but also like
I it's a fun park. It's a fun thing to spend a whole day there. I mean, just shy of $400, that sounds, hate to say it, right on the money. I will say that you probably got a little bit of a bargain because assuming $400 includes food, that's pretty good. If it's not including food, okay.
No, all the food was extra, and we ate our way to the
Oh,
park.
I did the
okay.
it's the what's it called? The
The Food and Wine Festival or whatever.
yeah, it's the Food and Wine
Yeah.
Festival right now. So that was a $50 pass, which was honestly pretty good. Like I have no complaints about it. Like you get eight
I
swipes
do.
from
They don't give you enough.
well, it's
I
yes, you could get more, but like you're also like eating your way through eight little of the tiny stands. So you're trading variety for quantity.
Oh. Okay. Well,
I'm a gluttonous American. Like I want more. What greed is okay. Wasn't that the quote?
my God.
Their food is so good. I'm not even gonna lie, it's so good. I would even go so far as to say Pizza Planet is pretty good. However, it's like $70 for a whole pizza.
Ew, what the fuck?
And it's not even like the Chuck E. Cheese mismatched slice pizza that we had, which was arguably pretty good. But you know, like you can't say that that variety or the variety to quantity ratio applies there because it's like the quantity to price is so mismatched, like it's insane because it's like that's literal in Drew's terminology, sink water pizza sold up thousands of percentages of markup.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong.
I can't wait to go back though. I've been pestered time and time again to buy another pass, and I miss the days of being grandfathered into a deluxe pass for $600. Say it with me, people. Not four digits, 600 for an annual pass.
Now, what about the Club 33 folks who somehow get into this super exclusive
For
place?
those individuals who can fork up five figures for even an entry fee, if memory serves me right. I've narrated so many stories about this, it's almost insane. And a lot of them are rooted in truism. I believe it's like a $30,000 to $50,000 initiation fee. What are they gonna do? Fucking make you blood brothers with Goofy? I don't know. And then it's upkeep and membership fees, which again go into the five. I want to say like four or five digit, four or five
Fucking
figure monthly
what upkeep fee?
amounts. I don't
What
know,
does that
like
even mean?
because I'm guessing if you're a member of Club 33, you can technically go to the park whenever you want. You can stay in certain resorts whenever you want. I'm imagining that it doesn't just go from park hop to from like Disneyland to California Adventure. I'm guessing you could go to Orlando. I'm guessing you could go to Tokyo. If you spend that much money, I'm guessing you're more internationally known than nationally known. I'm guessing. You know,
Don't forget the Dollar City.
Bob Iger could snap his fingers tomorrow and say, "Oh, we're going to raise it another 10K." And there'll still be people paying it. which is flabbergasted. I'm flabbergasted.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's refreshing sort of being away from the typical Disney crowds that, forget the Disney crowds that you see at the park, just that you see in life over there. You know, I mean, well, yeah,
like Disney,
you've got
like Disney adults.
You don't have Disney adults in Maryland or whatever country you're in.
The same one, just a handful of states over.
Yeah,
Massachusetts.
I mean, Merrill Chase.
No, I'm sure Massachusetts has Disney adults to some degree. I mean,
oh, no, I mean, we've got the number of people. Well, for one thing, the number of Florida license plates that I've seen up here, holy hell. Like, for as long as I've lived here, which is not long enough, not as long as Andrew, I have seen probably more Florida license plates than I saw when I was in Florida as a kid. It's insane.
You're casting too wide of a net. What you need to be looking for are the people who have, like, the themed park family shirts. One example among others that are Disney decorated.
Yeah.
You know, you have the couple that just got engaged, Mr. and Mrs.
I saw one that was going to have. It was a pair of like Taylor Swift themed custom sweatshirts, and it said "In our Disney era."
I can't describe the aesthetic, but it is something that you would find. You would find this really on any Etsy or Redbubble account that lives in Orlando. It's very Disney inspired. It's very chuggy. I'm sure they make a fortune though, because all of that is custom made, and they can get away with it because it's not being sold by big box stores like, you know, Mickey in some trap outfit and Minnie in some trap outfit. Like she's my trap queen kind of thing. I don't know. You see them at malls all the time.
Yeah.
You see them at like Hollywood souvenir shops all the time.
No,
the quality control is not there.
We certainly have the Disney adults here, but and certainly like Walt Disney World here, it's weird, and you know, geographically it makes sense. It's weird living in a world where Walt Disney World means more than Disneyland. Like it is kind of weird to have that, but I mean, for the most part, I certainly feel like I haven't seen as many Disney people here since I moved here. So,
they're too they're too concerned with you know, racking up the charges over at Fenway Park. You know, that's their own Disneyland.
Well, honestly, I'd rather go back to Fenway just because you want to talk about cheap in relation to going to a theme park. I mean, hey, if it means watching the Dodgers beat the Red Sox again, sign me up, coach. Or better yet, you could do what Taylor and I did at one point over the weekend and just accidentally stumble upon the Bukowski Tavern in Boston. So,
have y'all heard about
it was good.
Have y'all heard about the Disney adult dating apps apparently that exist?
Oh no.
They're paid. And it's like they barely function, and it's like you don't even have to, like, from what I've seen on the I watched a video like dissecting this, cuz I started like going down a rabbit hole like, what the fuck are Disney adults even on about? But yeah, the worst part is that there's a couple apps out there, and I think for either one or both of them, you like don't even have to match with the person to send them a message.
So also, it's basically just the early days of like match.com.
Pretty much, but it's all Disney adults.
I need a scatter plot of Disney adults and those with dissociation issues. And I need to see the correlation. Like I'm sure it exists, but I need some concrete data. I can't just keep going off of anecdotal instances of me being at the park. And to Ryan's statement, that's cringe. You know, I can't just keep going through my life and just saying that's cringe. I need, like, you know, I mean, I don't think anything would change, but like maybe. No, I don't think anything would change. I think I'm asking too much.
I mean, I kind of look at it like the Disney adults, like it's like any other person in the world. Like, it's people that exist in the world we live in. We live with them, and as long as we all keep ourselves to ourselves and not proselytize, then I don't know. And the world will live as one. I don't know. I mean, or the opposite. It'll just continue to decay. I don't know. I mean, I've made my points clear before, especially with the overlap of Disney adults and Taylor Swift fans, but
so you're asking me to go to a Disney park and not look at all the families subtly trying to flex on other families when they come out of these shops with literal hundreds, if not thousands of dollars worth of shit.
What I don't get is why you're going to Disney
tell me that they're living in their own world. I think, like, they're living in other people's worlds.
True. Like, I was walking around and there's people like with bags from like the Lego store. I don't know if they went to Downtown Disney or if they bought this at the actual park, but like, why are you buying a Lego set at Disneyland? There's actual, like, Disney-specific merch you could buy.
God, the markup there on that. I can't even imagine.
Look, yeah, I bought an umbrella. It's a simple black umbrella. It's got, like, a little tiny, like, Disney branding on the side. It's like Disneyland, and it has, like, a list of all where the parks are. That thing cost me $13. And the reason why I hadn't bought an umbrella until then was because umbrellas are expensive. Like, even at, like, $7, I didn't want to buy an umbrella, because I don't need it in SoCal. And then here I am buying one at Disney because I'm getting soaked through my two jackets for $13.
Yeah. I mean, I once had to buy an emergency umbrella at CVS. A CVS, by the way, that no longer exists here in downtown Worcester. And it was more expensive than that umbrella that you got, Matt. So
CVS is absolutely feral. I can safely attest that there is no logic to the pricing there in regards to what you'd find of similar, if not better quality at a Walmart.
Yeah.
And I love Walmart. Like, you know, I don't want to hear the huffs and the moans about people saying, oh, a Walmart is moving into our city or our county. What's it going to do? I'll tell you what it's going to do. It's going to be easier on your wallet if you can't see past whatever white picket fence you're guffawing behind. So I never understood that. My city had this, like, my old city didn't get a Walmart for the longest time. And I was like, why? And my mom had to break it down for me and basically be like, well, some, like, homeowners associations are, like, kind of pissed that they're going to be here. I think it was like an Ashley Madison furniture something, whatever, beforehand. A store that I don't think has seen business for the better half of 10 years. I'm convinced that it's like a drug front.
Ashley Madison was the affair site.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Oh, what am I thinking? Ashley Furniture?
Are you thinking of the
Home Goods? What's it called?
Furniture Kinky? Is this a sex dungeon?
You're talking about Ashley Furniture Store?
Yeah, that's what
I think so, yeah. I mean, again, it could just be a front for something else. I could be right on the money.
I mean, they're everywhere. Like, yeah. There's Ashley Furniture Stores out here. Fun personal fact.
I have one 5 minutes from me.
It was some Home Goods store. Honestly, I think it might have just been Home Goods. It was some sort of store like that. Walmart ended up replacing it. People got their panties in a bunch about it, and I'm like, what's the big deal with Walmart? And then it's like, oh, it introduces a lot of socioeconomic factors that people don't want to you know, look themselves in the mirror and address within themselves. And I'm like, who gives a fuck? And just get your milk somewhere else then. If you go to the soft, warm womb of Costco if you want to flex on other people. Like, you don't have to disenfranchise others who just want a Walmart. Where were we again? God, I just got off track. Something about Disney?
Well, I was going
to... Sunday is also Dapper Day, so I've been trying to find a vest. Vests are expensive.
Go to a thrift store.
Yeah, true. I might go to Ross and just look at them there. That's a Saturday quest.
Yeah.
So before we get on to one topic that I definitely wanted to mention, that I already kind of touched upon before we started recording with you guys. Matt, you've had some shows recently.
Tell us
all about them.
So the first show was a radio show where we did, like, we got old scripts from a Superman episode, a Flash Gordon episode, and then there weren't any good ones for The Thin Man, so the woman who did it with just wrote that one on her own. But yeah, Sebastian came up with Heather to go see it. Aww. It was fun. I dressed up in a nice little, in my nice little suit, and I had six voices. I had Ming the Conqueror, I can't even remember their names anymore. I did six voices.
You're trying to suppress it that close to when you performed?
No, I just don't even remember the name of the second guy. It was Ming the Conqueror. There was the second
Superman.
Well, there was Clark Kent and then Superman. Because I had two characters in Flash Gordon.
Okay.
Ming the Conqueror.
Ming,
and then there's another villain. Then I had Clark Kent and Superman.
Let's all try to remember a show that we weren't even born for. Okay.
And then I had two
and
random,
then what
like,
were you in
side
the third
characters.
One?
I was like the driver, and then I was the club owner.
Yeah.
Doing my best James Cagney voice. See? So I did that. That was a 1 day thing. I would have liked if we had a full weekend. But there were like it sold out pretty well, and the woman who does it, like, based on the ticket profits that she gets from this show that she does, like, once, like, she's only, I think, able to get the theater for one night each year, but she does it once, and then that'll finance her other shows that she does, like, even with the theater taking their cut and the city taking their cut. So that was fun. A lot of people came up to me afterwards like, do you do voiceover? You should do voiceover. And like, I do want to. That's part of why I do Dark Domain. I just haven't sat down to make a voice reel yet, which I know I need to do. But I had one, but my old computer ate it and I can't get the files back. So part of it's just the laziness to do it. And then the next show that I did was it was a murder mystery comedy called Done to Death. The basic premise of the show is that it's five authors who are like old and dated. Well, not old, but they're all dated. They're like out of style. No one's buying their books. They're like all mystery authors and like murder authors. And they get hired by this TV studio to like write a bunch of like TV episodes for them on this deserted island. So they go to the island, the producer gets murdered. And then they have to figure out who's killing people before they all die. And I play one of the authors. I played the youngest author who, his specialty is writing like the James Bond kind of mystery novels, like the super spy kind of things like that. We ran for 2 weeks. We started in December, like the very end of December, with rehearsals. We ended our run, I think, the last week of March. I can't remember dates anymore. I'm flushing the dates out of my head.
It was like around late March, I remember.
It was like the second and third week of March. Yeah, second and third week of March, because last week was the last weekend of March, and I was in Disneyland that weekend. So yeah, the second and third week of March. We had 8 shows. Yeah. I'm trying to think of what else. Honestly, like, the rehearsal process for it was kind of a doozy because our director it was his first time directing a show. And the problem is that it's nothing about him being a first time director. It's just, I don't think he had the skills to do directing, and it was a very ambitious show to direct. Plus he like didn't have the social skills. Like, he's a very socially awkward person. Like, he's a nice guy, but very socially awkward. And also, like, he'd done the show before. He'd been in the show once years ago. And I feel like that being an aspect of it, I think he was trying to recapture the same experience he had. And like, he wanted the characters to be the same way that they were when he did it.
Mm-hmm.
So there really wasn't a lot of room for any of us to explore the characters we wanted to. Like, my first idea for my character, because he's writing all these like super sexy, super like suave spy novels, right? Like, think of like James Bond getting like
laid every 5 minutes kind of a thing, right? And so my idea is like, okay.
What? Is that what happens in James Bond novels?
I don't know. I presume that's what it is because that's what it was implied in the script.
It's more like an Austin Powers novel, but I mean that...
Which is parodying James Bond. So, I mean, it's in the same vein.
Yeah.
But my idea was to like completely go 180 with that, with the actual character of the author, because he's not like, the funny thing is that he's not that at all. He's like, my idea was this Midwestern, like Minnesotan accent kind of guy. He's like the most milquetoast guy you could possibly find. He's not at all like his fun super spies. And I pulled out that accent.
During
our read through. Oh yeah, yeah. I pulled out the accent the first read through, and the director is like, "Don't be married to that," which is like an asshole thing to say. As a director, it's like you could just say that you don't like the accent, or like, I think he was trying to put it mildly, but it just came across as him being an asshole. And like, no matter what I tried to do, and like tried to make the character my own, like he would always just say, "I don't like it," or "Don't be married to that." And also, like, he couldn't read his own like descriptions.
Uh-oh.
And he couldn't read his own notes, and he couldn't read his own blocking. So we'd be writing down the notes from the night before, and then we'd go in the next day and we'd do what he told us as it was written down in our notes. He said, that's wrong, that's not what I have. And it's like, well, that's what we have here. Literally, well, every
if he doesn't night. Have if he doesn't have the skills or the know-how to recognize it, what grounds does he have to say that if you're interpreting it the only way you know
ego.
how is he gonna go?
It's
fuck
ego.
His ego.
It's ego.
Fuck it. Okay, like, yeah, I get the nuance. The thing is, I don't agree with the nuance.
Yeah, no.
That's my point.
There's he remained convinced that we were always wrong every night with our blocking, because it was consistently like every night he would say what we were wrong, but no, we have it in our notes, and people would have all the same notes. He would just never admit that, okay, maybe I made a mistake. It's just like, no, that's not what I have. That's wrong. And so everyone got just very frustrated. Like, we were all super excited to do this show because murder mysteries are fun. But it just got to a point where we're just so fucking exhausted with the conflicting notes, like the inconsistent notes, the lack of ability to do a character the way we wanted to. And it just, it was just so fucking frustrating to the point where like, there were so many points where I was just being a bitch because I was like fighting with the notes, like, yo, I don't see the character like that. That doesn't make sense. And there were truly things that like he would direct that make no logical sense. Like, there's one scene where.
Yeah. If he doesn't have a clear point, what are you doing other than just building his character for him?
Right. Like, there's one scene where like my character's imagining that like he's an actual spy and he's trying to get the plans back from somebody, these secret plans. And like the way was directing, it was like the plans are just sitting there on the floor and I'm just standing there imagining like, oh, I'm going to get the plans back. They're literally sitting right next to me. I could pick them up off the floor and be done with it. And we're like saying, yo, why are the plans on the floor? Like, why would I not just pick up the character? Why would the character who dropped the plans not just take them with him instead of coming back in the room to get them? And his idea is, because I want it to be funny like that. No, that's a huge gaping plot hole. That's just stupid. It doesn't really add all that much. It's just stupid. So we had a lot of contend with a lot of that. And at some point I'm just like, fuck it. I'm never going to get like my point across. I no longer care about like my interpretation of the show. I just want to get it done. And so I just went along with his really shitty notes, but like actually performing the show, like just being with the cast, not having to worry about getting notes anymore, like hanging out in between like one show, the morning show of the day and the night show of the day, or just like doing it, that was so much more enjoyable because we didn't have people breathing down our necks every 5 minutes, like telling us to change or what we're doing is wrong. Like, at that point, you can't fucking change it.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing what we're going to do.
Well, they say you don't quit jobs, you quit bosses. I'd also go out more on a limb to say that you probably would have had more fun had it have been literally anyone else.
Oh yeah, no, like he's a great guy. Like, he's a
even
nice
self-directed
person.
You know,
right.
Like,
we could have directed this ourselves, but he's a nice guy. I would do a show with him if he's acting with me. Like, I did Explorers Club with him and he was fine there, and which is why I agreed to do this show, largely is because like I like him as a person. I knew he would have trouble as a first-time director and I wanted to be there to support. And like at the beginning, so many people are asking questions like, is he just dumb? Or like, what's going on here? Like, why is he doing this? And it's like he's trying. He's like, it's his first time. Like, he's kind of socially awkward. Just give him a chance. But at the end, I was just like, I'm done defending you. You just fucking suck. Like, at this point, I will never let you direct me again. Not even if you were doing
Oh, yeah,
Hamilton,
bad.
which would be like a fun role for me. I would love to do Hamilton. Even if he was directing Hamilton, I would not let him direct me. I will share the stage with him as another actor. I will not do it with as a director. But overall, I thought the show was very fun. I'm like glad to do a murder mystery. There was a point where, spoiler alert, my character dies.
Oh,
Like
no.
It's
I have this
literally the first word of the genre. What?
murder
No.
mystery, what? So like my character dies,
Oh,
like
man.
collapses on the floor, in a big, like just very unexpected moment, I just die. And I heard someone in the crowd say, "Oh man." Turns out it was one of my friends, but still, like the "oh man" was a very fun ego boost. And then there was at one point someone else I heard say that they thought I was the main murderer until I died, and it's like, "Oh man, I thought he was the murderer, dang it," which was very fun for me.
Well, sounds like you had fun. Sounds like you didn't lose too much of your humanity. It doesn't sound like it was a Velvet Buzzsaw situation where everyone loses themselves and their own ego.
Well, no, because like I got to work with people I like the other actors like absolutely respect. Like my friend Tim McGowan, I absolutely respect him as an actor. My friend Terrence was there. I got to work with a friend that I hadn't seen in like 10 years. One of the people that I going to Disney with is like I met on this show. So yeah.
And I believe now friend of the show and relatively recent guest, Travis Sanders got to see you as well during one of the two shows, because I know he posted a picture, someone else's post, and you
Yeah.
were in the middle of
Our
it,
friend
and I was
Katie.
like, that's Matt.
Our friend Katie, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is apparently another mutual friend that we have.
And the best part, Sebastian, was having both of them be like, I think I remember that guy. I think I met him. And I'm like, I
There's
mean,
photo
I know.
evidence.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. All right, everyone, chill. Does that ring a bell?
Social media is bringing us all together. I love it.
Wait, was that who it was?
Oh my God, man. He was Poison Ivy.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I
You
forgot. I
never
forgot him.
specifically told me who it was. You just said,
Yeah.
I know him.
Yeah, I forgot
You just
him
said that you
being
know
like,
him.
yeah, I said from
Forgotten,
our
yeah,
Batman
honestly.
breed.
Oh, you
Yeah,
when?
honestly, I think
Where?
that
On
lent itself
Instagram.
more.
Oh. Well, you can't expect me to read every word you type, Ryan. I read like every three words you type. So,
Hell yeah, Matt, tell him. Whenever Ryan talks, or it's like it's an encyclopedia. And when it ends, there's always a new volume.
that's true.
Yeah.
Wish I was there. Wish I could have seen it. Wh was it at the main?
Yep.
Okay. The
Yeah,
new
it
hall?
was.
Okay.
Also, pissing rain that night when I did go see it. So, really adding insult to injury. Well, when does it rain in a desert?
Gilbert Gottfried over here.
Yeah, really. What's the deal? Seriously, what is the deal? I remember as we were driving home, Heather was like, "Hey, you might want to like get off the freeway." I'm like, "Why? You're doing 30." It was bad. We were doing 30 on the freeway. Like,
Oh.
that's how tsunami-esque it was.
God.
So.
I know when I went to Boston over the weekend with Taylor, it was literally like, hey, it's sunny and it's gonna be in the 50s. Let's do it. Like, well, let's do what we gotta
Honey, let's
do.
do
And
it.
so it was still cold, but what can you do? Sure, all the people at the anime convention were
Oh yeah.
relatively
No, they
buttoned up.
ninja ran. That's how they kept their heat. They just ninja ran. You didn't do that in seventh grade?
So one other thing too that I wanted to bring up with you guys before we wrapped up, kind of carrying on something we talked about a few episodes ago. Apparently, Alex Garland, the gentleman who is directing the upcoming film Civil War, which I think comes out in, as of recording, like a week, I think, apparently says he's going to be throwing in the towel when it comes to directing. According to this headline from The Wrap, Civil War director Alex Garland says he's done directing for the foreseeable future. And then to just read a little bit here. Annihilation director Alex Garland won't be in the director's chair anytime soon after the release of his upcoming Civil War. In an interview published Sunday with The Guardian, Garland confirmed he plans to step back from the camera after the April 12th release date of his Kirsten Dunst starring war epic. "Nothing's changed. I'm in a very similar state," he told the outlet, nodding to an interview he gave in 2022 where he indicated he might be refocusing on just screenwriting for the next while. Okay. "I'm not planning to direct again in the foreseeable future." He later added that he's fallen out of love with filmmaking, emphasizing, "I do actually love film still, but," quote, "filmmaking doesn't exist in a vacuum."
Oh, boo-hoo. I'd love to take your job. Leave it to me, fucker. Like, on one hand, I do get it. Like, there is creative slump. But just so many of these people, like, and again, like, everyone has their own mental health issues. Everyone deserves to, like, take a break of things. But it's like, you're in such a fucking place of privilege.
No, better yet, channel that and make an avant-garde black and white film and rake in millions.
But I hate like avant-garde.
I know, but think of how many self-disturbed souls are out there who just want to get their picture on the silver screen. I know, but think about it this way. If she could do it, and that bar's low, anyone can do it.
But she was also kind of a Nepo wife.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She already had, like...
Hush, Ryan, I'm trying to disparage Yoko Ono.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Matt on this one. I mean, it's easy to channel that insecurity and make a film out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that when it becomes preachy, no one's going to want to see it. But Alex Garland has fans, so that kind of negates the whole, well, there's going to be no one to see it. I mean, literally, as you were talking, Ryan, I looked it up. The top three posts on Reddit for Alex Garland taking a break from directing but still having creative control of some elements, the top comment is, "We are so back." I don't think he's leaving anytime soon. So even if he did veer off into something just completely unlike what he's done before, hypothesizing that he would even do in an avant-garde film, taking a break if mental health is even the thing, I'm just speculating, I guarantee you people would still watch his shit. Like, it's no question.
No, I mean, you're right. I mean, for the most part, you know, his career really started off with writing. You know, he wrote 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later. Apparently he's writing 28 Years Later, which is an actual thing in development. Even with...
gotta get that Cillian Murphy somehow.
Exactly. You know, and he's written a few other standout movies, including others with Cillian Murphy, like Sunshine, which from what I've heard is like considered one of the best sci-fi movies ever, especially when it comes to accuracy in terms of the sun. Still haven't seen it, still need to.
Do you though?
And then I also heard the special effects were great. Anyway,
you know, you don't have to live up to the expectations of others, Ryan. It's just a film.
Well, then he did. He wrote the Dread movie. It says uncredited for directing, even though it says it has a director. So,
well, if he's uncredited and it was written somewhere, obviously they had to credit him. Why uncredited even a thing that exists? Like, you're obviously name dropping whoever had a role in it. Just fucking credit them.
Here we go. While Pete Travis was credited as the director, it was Garland who actually completed the film. So it's a...
Okay, so credit him. That's a pretty big role.
It's like a Rogue One situation. Like, oh, Gareth Edwards was billed as director, but he probably directed, sure. I don't know, not all of the finished product that we saw with Rogue One.
So get two co-directors.
And then he also did Ex Machina, Annihilation. I didn't see Men. I heard it was pretty creepy, but also heard it was pretty good. So, and he's got one other movie that he's directed, post-Civil War, that's on its way to being in theaters soon. I don't know. The whole thing is interesting, and I know some people were complaining because it's like, oh, he's such a good director. But I feel like in some ways it's a reaction to the reaction Civil War has gotten, despite the fact that the movie's not even out yet, to repeat.
Yep.
But it's also like, what, is this like a publicity stunt? I mean, just speculating, it feels weird to be like, oh yeah, I got a movie coming out, I might not make any more. Like,
yeah.
Quentin Tarantino can do that, and I say that as by far not a big Quentin Tarantino fan, but this guy, it's like...
Hayao Miyazaki could do that. I remember when The Wind Rises was his quote-unquote final film, and that was in 2013?
Mm-hmm.
He said that Boy and the Heron's going to be his last, but he's going to make another one. He's not done.
He's not done. And to answer your question, yes, it is a publicity stunt. Garland's not going to go hungry if he doesn't make another film, or at least direct in the directing seat. I don't know the price differences or the salary differences between a writer and a director, but I know that you can't have one without the other. What the hell are you going to direct if there's nothing written? I would assume writers get paid more. I mean, makes sense. You're creating intellectual property.
Nah, I don't think they get paid a ton, honestly.
Let me check versus...
I mean, it must be really difficult to stand there and just yell at people to know their lines, but I'm kidding. I know that that's not all they do.
Directors are usually paid more than writers. Yeah. But
I get it. The more creative control, the more you want to command. But it's like, I can't shake the feeling that directors would not be there if there was no material on the table.
Well, think of the directors that are writers themselves. You know, like...
Well, that's just an ego boost.
Well, I mean... If you're a director and you've got a good story to tell, or even if it's not a good story, you know, like...
That's fair.
You have a story to tell, but... You're enough of a whatever kind of filmmaker that the studio's like, all right, fine, we'll let you direct it. We'll let you direct this thing that you wrote for us, Zack Snyder. Go give us your libertarian take on Cyborg.
Oh, hi, studio.
Oh, no!
I mean, it could always just be a war of attrition where you're like, fine, I'm going to do it myself, take out a bunch of loans, and then just make your own film. Then again, not every single first budget movie could be Clerks. As much as I think a lot of people who watch that movie for the first time think, oh, this is going to be it. You know why? Because I'm a boy with a dream and I funded it with my own money working at McDonald's. I'm going to get three movies and the third one's going to break your heart if you haven't seen Clerks 3. Ooh, it's good. But it's not great to what it does to you. Anyway,
still need to see it. I still haven't seen Clerks 2. Are they even worth it?
Mm-mm. Yeah. And the reason I say that is because Clerks 2 on its own, it makes Clerks 3 more meaningful. Then again, if you were to just go from Clerks 1 to Clerks 3, you'd be like, okay, the biggest difference is that it's in color. Wow.
Yeah.
I guess they finally got a budget. I'm kidding. Clerks 2 is a movie, not to go too much on a tangent about this, Clerks 2 is a movie of its time. That is all I'll say.
Okay.
The dialogue is, can't get away with what they did when they made it.
Duly noted. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, ultimately... As much as I do kind of look at this as just being like, hey, I'm going to give up, go see my movie about the end of the United States. Like, all right, fine. All of that being said, if he's already had a career of writing for movies, I mean,
He'll
or
be
basically
fine.
writing movies, like, all right, so you're
Yeah.
not like leaving or anything, you're still sticking around.
Yeah.
I
I mean, there's you can leave retirement fund, assuming you manage your money right in these many, many successful years in the industry. Why? But you're not going to. People aren't going to walk away from a paycheck like that.
Yeah.
Alone the notoriety of potentially being nominated. I mean, holy shit. Can you imagine?
Well,
Like, that's
that's what I'm kind of
the fact
curious about with.
DiCaprio held out as long as he did. It's wow.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's what I'm curious about with this movie is, for one thing, he's gotten accolades for his other films. I mean, Ex Machina is genuinely. I think it's genuinely a terrific movie. Annihilation is very disturbing, but like disturbing sci-fi that we don't really get anymore. But like I don't know. I and especially with this movie, I mean, every time I bring it up with Matt, what do you say?
Which movie? Sorry, I spaced.
He's leaving directing. He's got Civil War coming out, and he's gonna leave directing so he can
Oh.
produce.
He's producing an actual fucking civil war with this shit. He's doing what Joker was supposed to do for the white incels and spark the uprising. Except
Well, I, for one,
this time
can't.
because it's Murica themed, so you're gonna get all the Murica people all jazzed up to go out and shoot somebody.
I, for one, can't wait to see this movie because then I can, after I see the movie, I can turn around and say, wow, even at all those years, Joker did it better. So,
You said
this
Joker
movie
did it
better blow.
better?
Yeah, like if they're trying to put the same message forward, which I don't think they are, but to what Matt said, comparing it to Joker, I think watching Civil War and seeing it in all of its hokiness, because let's be serious, what do us commoners, not the people in the industry, what do us commoners, us peasant folk, have other than the trailer and a couple of snippets of, what this film could be about? And then after we watch it, I'm anticipating at least to be like, wow. Even after all that preaching and proselytizing, Joker was still the better movie. That's what I'm predicting, anyway. So,
And all within a year, we're getting a Joker movie, by the way.
a jukebox musical.
Yeah, with Lady Gaga.
I'm not a fan of jukebox movies. It's like, why would I want to watch a Kidz Bop the movie when I could just listen to the actual song?
I don't know. I kind of look at it like, you know what? Just give me the Joker movie. Let us all be Joker men together. I don't know. Let's all be like the Bob Dylan song, Joker Man. Anyway.
Oh, I hate Bob Dylan though.
Ugh, how does he feel?
Not
So
good.
whiny. He's such a
And
bitch.
hey, we're getting a Bob Dylan movie with Chalamet, directed by the guy that directed
Another Nepo
Logan.
baby.
Oh God,
Another
Matt's
Nepo.
dream. Oh. God.
And apparently his sister from Dune is married and nobody knew.
2 years ago.
All right, so lesson learned. The film industry is the film industry's bread and butter is war of attrition. That's the only war that it's fighting because it goes to show that they can just make anything and see if it'll stick. Hopefully more
But they
don't stick
don't.
than do.
They just keep making
No,
the
no, no.
same
It,
shit over again.
hopefully more don't stick, meaning they're commercial flop and people realize that, hey, not every single idea that you concoct in a test tube is going to be sunshine and roses. A lot of them are going to explode in your face. Let's hope that people learn from that. And yeah. Final thoughts, because I'm kind of out of steam and not going to lie, kind of hungry.
So, before we wrap up, I'm going to send you guys a couple pictures of Taylor and I at the Bukowski Tavern in Boston, and then I'm going to read you what Pete said to me.
No, oh no, he's still in his Bukowski arc. Fuck me. Stop
No.
being sad.
Stop
How about
sounding like
that?
Pete, damn
Me? I'm the one trying to pull him out of his depressive funk. Oh, it just makes sense to me because he's so informed and misunderstood. He works at a post office and he
That's like one of
constantly has
thousands of jobs
vices.
that he has, though.
No, he has his post office job in the beginning.
Right.
And then he goes back to his post office job. I know he has a couple in the middle. And he gets married and I think he even has a kid. Yeah. Don't aspire to be like that.
Pete said, looking like a handsome version of Bukowski if his life was together, Ram.
Oh, sweet.
And
That's actually kind of sweet.
then Drew said, it's my author photo on the back fold.
Oh, man.
Closing thoughts?
I'll let y'all know how dapper day is.
Yeah. Other than I'll see you next week, and Matt, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, as we all give each other a thumbs up, Terminator 2 style.
This was the limpest exit we've ever had.
Hey guys, you ever hear?
Mars on Life is a podcast co-hosted by Sebastian Shug, Ryan Mancini, Andrew Martinez, and Matt Fernandez. If you like this episode, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite shows, as Mars on Life is available on Anchor, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Audible, Spotify, and Podchaser. Find us on Instagram at Mars on Life Show to keep up with the latest news, episodes, and gratuitous updates on the Red Planet. Have a question, comment, or request? Email us at marsonlife@gmail.com, and we'll promptly get back to you. This show's artwork, titled Happy Mars, was drawn by Zachary Erberich. Our show's regular intro and outro music is Space Explorers by the one and only Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening, and always remember, if you keep going, you'll make it to Mars.